In this week's episode, the Grills tackle cosplay with special guest, Talus Forge. Cue the music.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to Geek Grills, a podcast about geeky things hosted by women. I am the Jen, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris, also known as Lunescence.
Hello.
Ember is currently doing important political things today, so she could not record with us. But we do have a really awesome guest. Our guest today is a costumer, a cosplayer, a steampunk enthusiast, a gamer, a model, and, well, all-around awesome geeky girl. So she was recently on the first season of Steampunk Competition Shoe, and her name is Talus Forge. Hi, Talus. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
It's our absolute pleasure to have you on. And I am very excited we were finally able to make it work. I know scheduling has been crazy with the holidays and everything else, but again, very excited to have you today.
Thank you.
All right, Lady Grills, what have you been up to? Loon, what has your week thing been like?
Well, yeah, I've been doing lots of adulting, school and work, and really weird electrical problems at home due to the melting snow because it is getting warmer because Idaho is somewhat similar to Arizona in that when it decides to get warm, it decides to get warm. So that all happened. And then today I've been having a movie marathon. So that's been pretty fun. Movie marathon and playing Hearthstone at the same time or various management games on Steam. So that's what I've been up to.
What have you been watching?
Gosh, everything. I found, since I'm still not too familiar with what's available on Amazon, and I kind of like the interface better with Netflix. It feels like it's easier to find stuff for me. So I ended up finding a list of top movies to watch that are free on Amazon. So I started looking at like the top tens and I was like, oh, I saw that. Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen that. So I saw Reservoir Dogs. I'm currently in the middle of No Country for Old Men. I watched Good Will Hunting again and then I saw...
Oh my God, I love that movie.
I know.
I cry every time I watch. I can't not cry.
I know.
I can't not cry.
It's been a while since I've seen that too. It makes a lot more sense. It's a lot better when you get older, when you've been in relationships before. So that's pretty cool. And then, what was the other one that I saw? It was, The Untouchables. Thelma and Louise. I watched that because I've actually never seen it all the way through. So I was like, you know, I should watch that. Oh, and The Talented Mr. Ripley because I've never seen that before either.
Oh, I've never seen that all the way through. I should watch that too.
It's good.
Just cuz.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was just, everybody in that movie was actually really good.
I can't. I'm so
and
sad.
It even had Gwyneth Paltrow when she was bearable. So she did a good job.
I will have to watch that. I'll have to add that to my list. All right, Talus, what has your geeky week been like? What have you been up to?
Well, a couple of days ago, I did my first snow photo shoot with one of my favorite photographers, Albert. And so I got to do that. It was so uncomfortably hot though. Like, it was snow, but because it's California and it was on Mount Baldy, it was still really, really hot. And so I'm just like, they're like, try to make it seem like it's cold, but I'm like, but it's so hot and I'm wearing this really large fleece cloak that I made. So that was a lot of fun. And then it finally cooled down later on, so it made it a little bit better. And then I've been working on a couple costumes, for Wild Wild West Con that's coming up in Arizona, Tucson. And, that's gonna be in March, so trying to make sure I'm all prepped for that. I'm a special guest for that convention, so I wanna make sure that I got the best of the best that I'm wearing. And then I'm doing some, like, kind of cutesy Valentine's Day shoots this weekend, so I'm prepping for that as well.
Oh, that sounds super fun. That's super fun. Yeah, I saw that you were listed as a special guest, and I was really excited because I will be going to that because I live in Tucson, so it would be really stupid not to go. But I was looking at pictures of, like, past costumes and stuff, and I was like, wow, people really turn out for that. mm-hmm. for that convention. So it should be fun.
Yeah, it's my absolute favorite steampunk convention of the year. Nothing compares.
I'm excited to check it out for the first time. I don't even know how I didn't know that it was happening. It's amazing to me that it just under the radar here. But yeah, so my week has been Diablo, more Diablo. A little bit more Diablo. Man, I don't know, it's meditative for me. I get in there and I have a barbarian and I jump around and I murder stuff. And you know, that's just, again, meditative. I'm going to use that phrase because that's really how it feels. I just go in there and I run rifts and I don't have to think about anything. I just smash things and then I get new gear and then I get so I can smash more things faster. And that's been pretty cool. So that's been pretty much my gaming life lately. I did go back and rewatch Rick and Morty, the two seasons that are available. I cannot wait for a new season. So I'm really hopeful that we're going to get that soon. I really love Rick and Morty and I would really like to see more Rick and Morty in my life.
That's pretty unanimous.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's so, oh man, I've decided my favorite episode is the Purge episode just because Morty just, it's just funny. But yes, I love that show and I can't wait. We need a season 3. We need it now. I am getting caught up on Harley Quinn. I do have the Comixology subscription service now, which is great. I have it set up finally so I can just, it just charges me when the new issue comes out and then I can just go on there and I can read it on my phone or on the computer. So I'm getting caught up on my Harley Quinn. Thanks to Nine, who obviously got me to check out the Harley Quinn Rebirth, and it is really good. So yay comics. That's what I've been up to. So let's see. I guess that brings us to the Geek Grapevine. Loon, do your news first.
Has everybody here that listens to this show, have you heard of a thing called Steam? If you haven't, you're
unfamiliar.
You're probably not a gamer or play any kind of video game. And that's okay. There's no shame in that. But you may have heard of a little thing called Steam. And Steam has decided to get rid of their Greenlight program. If you don't know what that is, it's their Greenlight program is a way for indie developers to submit their games to see if the community will be interested in it. And if they are, they'll upvote it. And then Steam will take it on as a game that can later be purchased or that can then be purchased. So they're getting away with that. And you might be thinking, well, then how are new games going to get on there? How are we going to play cool indie developed games? They're going to now have a system thing called Steam Direct. And so how Steam Direct is going to work is indie publishers, developers, they're just going to submit their game directly to Steam and it's just automatically going to go in the games library and be available to purchase. And so in order for an indie developer to do that, they're going to actually have to pay a fee to get their game on there. The fees are going to be as low as $100 and as high as $5,000. And, you know, Steam just wants it to be a welcoming environment for all developers. And this is a way to get games into the system, without having to wait for the community to decide to even know if a game is available to, you know, to vote on or anything like that. And so hopefully, you know, it'll keep down the people that are just, you know, entering in games that aren't very serious, because typically if you have to pay to get your money in something, they're going to be a more serious developer. So hopefully it'll kind of squash on the crap games that can sometimes make their way in there. You know, like people are just trying to troll with stuff that they made in an hour. So that'll be interesting. And that's going to happen sometime in the spring. Don't know if it's early spring or late spring. So that's interesting. That's kind of a big change because Greenlight has been there for a while.
Yeah. And I like this because, like you said, you want people to have skin in the game. You don't want them to just, oh, look, I got drunk and did this thing. Haha. Now it's in the system. I like the idea that it's going to encourage people to really put their best foot forward and they're going to have that skin in the game to get it into the system. At the same time, obviously, I don't want there to be too much barrier to entry because there's so many indie games that we love and want them to be able to get them into the Steam system. So I get nervous when I hear things like $5,000 fee, but I guess, is it going to vary by game? Are they looking? It's interesting. I'm interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. They do. Valve definitely does want feedback from, you know, from developers before setting on a final price. So it kind of sounds like maybe it'll be the same across the board. So hopefully it isn't, you know, like if you watch, gosh, what? There was that one video game documentary about indie developers, and they had the developer of Fez and Super Meat Boy in that one. I totally forgot the name. But I'm pretty sure that like Fez ended up just being a one-man team because the other guy quit. Super Meat Boy, I think, was just a one-man team or maybe a two-man team. I don't think they had $5,000 that they could have just said, hey, I hope my game is successful. Here's $5,000 that I don't have. Please accept my game.
Right. See, and that's kind of how I feel about it. But then again, I mean, I guess that's where they have the option to like Indiegogo or, you know, Kickstarter. But then again, then we're just moving away from, I don't know. I'm of two minds on it, but I still think that the Greenlight program was too slow. So I do like this. I just, like I said, I just don't want there to be too much barrier to entry because I want to see people get into the game. No pun intended.
Yeah. And Steam does have an algorithm to make sure that whatever is submitted is a game. So even if they pay the money and it gets in, they're pretty confident that they're going to know if it's actually a game or not. So that'll be interesting too.
Spinning pizza. It's right? A pizza that spins. Woo! Yeah, no, we want it to actually be a game. That would be good. Oh man. Well, interesting. So I have a bit of news. Actually, both news stories I have this week are both involve World of Warcraft. Weird. So, one is just a video. It's a Cinema Blend article, / video that they did a map and they wanted to find out what the most popular games were in the 50 United States. And it was kind of interesting because I don't think they expected it to turn out like this, but basically all 50 states, it was only two games that came out in the top. So it was either World of Warcraft or League of Legends. That was it. So there's a map. And it's interesting to me when I'm looking at it because it appears that the middle of the United States, and Florida, and Maine are all like World of Warcraft, and then all the coasts and Texas and the heart of the Midwest are League of Legends, apparently, is the number one game there. So it's just interesting that there was no other games that came out in the top one, in the top spot. It was just those two in all 50 states. So I found that really interesting, but I guess it makes sense. I mean, World of Warcraft has been around forever. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, we're going to try to kill World of Warcraft with this MMO. And of course it never happens. And then everybody tries to come up with the new MOBA that's going to take down League of Legends. And again, it never happens. So anyway, just kind of interesting. Apparently the whole country either likes WoW or League. So there you go. And so in this news, now this is really interesting and it has caused quite a bit of debate and discussion and people, it's jacking up the WoW economy. Everything is all screwed up. So World of Warcraft currency, or gold can now be used in other Blizzard games. So basically right now, in World of Warcraft, you can redeem WoW tokens, to pay for game time. So that allows you, so somebody can buy a token with money and essentially get gold. Right. That's been around for like about the last year and a half or so. And that's been a new thing. And that's been great. It's like, now I can pay with gold. Well, now they're allowing you to actually redeem those WoW tokens for battle.net balance. So you can use that to buy, pets or mounts or, even battle.net allows you to like change your character name, different services, transfers to different servers, all that stuff, right? But what's interesting is that the battle.net balance can also be used in other Blizzard games now too. So you can buy Overwatch loot boxes with this balance that you get from WoW tokens. So essentially you can convert gold into money on your battle.net account. So these tokens used to sell for like 30,000 gold. Now they're at like 92,000 gold. So everything, so now my monthly subscription used to cost me like 35,000 gold. Now it's like 90,000 gold because of all this change and everything else. So I'll be interested to see if things settle, but I'm not exactly sure what's driving this decision, but it is definitely screwing up the WoW economy for the moment. So it's a little crazy.
Is that, can you see that happening directly in the marketplace?
Yeah. Yeah. So on the auction house, those tokens, like I said, they used to sell for 35 to 36,000, and you use that token, you buy the token with gold, and then the token can be used for game time, or now it can be used as battle.net balance. Well, I used to use it as my monthly subscription so that I didn't have to pay it. But now, I'm not going to pay 90,000 gold to continue my WoW subscription because I can earn a decent amount of gold and enough to justify my subscription. But at 90,000 gold, like, that sucks. That's shitty. So, it's been a little bit of a problem. It's been a little crazy. So hopefully it'll settle out. But I also think that there's limitations though, because I was interested in this because I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, you could like basically make money off this. But I think the way it works is there's a limit to how many times you can do it, like how many battle.net currency exchanges you can make, because they don't want people to just make money off of it, essentially. But yeah, there are some people that are saying that they're doing that you can make more money than you should be able to, I guess, in the first couple days. But I don't know. We'll see how it settles out over the next few weeks, because it just happened last week. So
crazy.
Yeah, kind of nutty, right? Not what I had expected. So that is the news, though. So that brings us to our discussion today, which we get to hang out and talk to Miss Talis Forge. So I definitely want people to get a little bit more of a background on you and what you do. So Talis, what, I mean, I guess you have like, you wear a lot of different hats. You have a lot of things that you do.
Yeah, I should say that.
Yeah. I mean, you've got your Etsy, which has, really awesome jewelry that you make. I know Loon was in particular talking about your ears. She loves the ears.
Those seem to be pretty popular.
Those are,
and then I know you model.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, like, all the things that I love to do are, like, things that I end up selling in my shop later. Because I have two Etsy accounts. One is for prints of my modeling. And then those are a lot of the, like, costumes that I've done, so people can have those. And then I also have body pillows that you can purchase of myself and Tobias, also from Steampunked. And then one of my friends, Pandora Fox, she had gotten a custom pillow from my intern at the time. She was doing the digital artwork for these body pillows. And then she's like, oh, if I get a custom one, I'll pay the fee, but you're welcome to have it in your shop too. So now we have like three different body pillows, and it's hilarious just to be able to say like, yeah, I have a body pillow of somebody. And there are steampunky ones, because that wasn't really, nobody's really done steampunk ones, unlike, you know, there's like a billion anime ones or video game related. And then in my main Etsy shop of my crafts, I do custom corsets, specifically in leather, handbags, that you can get custom. And then, of course, the elf ears, which are the most popular. I have mechanical heart necklaces that, were one of the bigger steampunk items, I started making when I was younger. And then just a lot of chokers too. And then if I come up with something new, sometimes I'll put it up, like potion bottles I've been putting up since the last event that I did, and whatever was left over, I put up for sale. But a lot of the work that I do is mostly customized instead of, just make to sell.
That's super awesome. I love, I love what you, I like your aesthetic. I enjoy, you know, cause there's a certain amount of aesthetic to steampunk, but then there's also just like some extra creativity that I think you really add to it. Like I like, cause I know Talis is actually the name of your steampunk character, right? That's like the time, she's like a time sorceress kind of a thing.
Tails is a time sorceress, that character specifically. And then I have Isla Nightwalker is my assassin. I have, I think, I haven't named a lot of the other characters. Like, they all have their own personalities. But I don't really ever, sometimes a lot of them are just Isla Nightwalker, just in different stages of her lifetime. Especially because, like, based on the story and whatnot. But a lot of the times it's just fun having, like, you know, they're like, why does this exist? And it's like, oh, because of this. So yeah, Pumpkin Queen, she doesn't have an official name. She's just Pumpkin Queen. And I've always enjoyed that character because when nobody really knows the backstory for it, but when they ask, they're like, that's hilarious because she's pissed off that, you know, Christmas is always coming during Halloween time when we should be talking about Halloween. So she'll tend to play tricks on people who, decorate before the time has come for, Christmas.
That's awesome.
I like her.
Yeah. That was a fun character to come up with. That costume too is one of my favorites as well.
One of my favorite cosplays that you've done is maybe because like when I played League of Legends, she was one of my favorite characters. Was your Hextech Janna. Yes. That's one of my favorite skins of hers, and it's just so good, like the detail that you get into everything. Again, like I think that's one of the things about cosplay that's so impressive is when you can really just get into the details.
Great. Yeah, attention to detail has always been my favorite thing because I'm like, it's got to be accurate. I'm such a perfectionist, and sometimes I'll let things slide because I'm like, that's not physically possible in this universe, so I'm just going to not have that float. But when I get the chance, because I've done two of the Janna skins, my personal favorite is actually the Forecast Janna, and I did that cosplay a few years ago, but I only have one picture of it that I had just taken in passing at a convention, and so I've never done actually professional photos of it, and the coat needs some adjusting and whatnot, but I actually have like the little cloud hung on fish line off my umbrella, so it actually looks like it's floating there when you take a picture. And I really enjoyed doing that one, and then I did Hextech Janna a little bit after that one because I like, of course, steampunk and elves and League of Legends and Janna, so it's just the perfect character. She was my main for a really, really long time until I switched over to Nami, and as much as I want to do Nami, I'm like, that's just so much work.
That would be a really involved, for those that don't play League of Legends, Nami is basically like, how would you describe?
Like almost a mermaid, but like.
Yeah, but like more of a water nymph, but like a fish.
Bigger than a mermaid.
Yeah, that would be a challenge. So I have to ask, you know, cause this is, I did enjoy, your run on Steampunked, and I did actually enjoy, watching that show, quite a bit. But I know I've heard you say that you would never ever do it again. And I have to ask why. What is it about that experience that made you say never again?
I knew it was going to be hard, like, going into it, because, you know, you're taken away pretty much from your life for a certain period of time. You have no outside access to the world, 15-minute phone calls home once a week, and then you're just put in this situation where pretty much you work until you can't work anymore, and even when you can't work anymore, you got to do it anyway. These are like 12-hour work days where you're building and stuff. And, you know, the contestants, like I really enjoyed being with the other contestants, during the show. Most of them anyway, there was a couple exceptions.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The amount of stress that is put on you is just too much. The producers specifically try to put you in situations where the drama is higher and higher and higher until you pretty much explode. Like, you know, the you could have snacks and whatnot, but a lot of the times we weren't given, like, actual real meals for long periods of times because, you know, it just, that's just how it was, and not being able to get home sometimes until 11 o'clock and then having to wake up at 5 in the morning or earlier so that you could be there by breakfast so that you get fed lunch at 2 p.m. and then food again at 10 p.m. So it's just, you're like, I'm just working until the next time that I can pretty much get fed. You're treated not the best. And then you're, of course, sequestered in a hotel room. You're sequestered in a hotel room. I got, like, on my days off, which was about once a week, I got to go swimming, which was my favorite time, but I had to be, of course, supervised so that I didn't talk to anyone. And then I think the hardest part most of all was, you know, you're wanting to talk to these other contestants because they come from all over the US and they're really, really cool people. But during, while you're filming, you want to work on your craft as much as possible and, you know, trying to build the next thing. Of course, my thing was costuming and I didn't really get much help on that from the other contestants. So I had to work alone a lot of the time. And then, once you're off camera, you're not allowed to talk to anyone at all. So it's really stressful being like, I really want to talk to all these people, but I have to keep it all in.
Yeah, the lack of human interaction would stress me out. I would go bananas. I would just go bananas. But I have to say, the stuff that you made, I really think you really did showcase some amazing work. So I'm really glad that you did get that opportunity to share your craft in such a public way, because you are an amazing, like, costumer. It's incredible. I can't believe some of the stuff that you accomplished with just a sewing machine and fabric. And I'm just like, I would never think to do that. That's so cool. So I really, you did amazing, amazing work on that show.
Thank you. I feel like a lot of it's just like an adrenaline rush because I've tried to replicate some of the stuff in the same amount of time. And I'm like, this is taking me 2 weeks. It took me 15 hours to do this before. What is different? It's probably just stress.
The difference is you take food breaks. That's the difference.
And human interaction. I'm like, give me a hug, please.
So I have to ask, like, what got you, how did this get started for you? You know, making, cosplaying, crafting, like, how did that start?
I am still, but when I was younger, I was a huge fan of anime, and I read, like, over 100 different manga titles when I was younger, just one summer, because I had nothing better to do, and I really, really enjoyed just looking into all the stories, and I had friends who, we had always dreamed about going to Anime Expo together. That was, like, a life goal, was to go to Anime Expo in Los Angeles, and eventually, when I changed schools, I actually ended up being with people who had been to Anime Expo before. And so I was like, awesome, now I can join this group and, you know, go to the Anime Expo with them. And I did, I cosplayed my, like a couple, like it was more like closet cosplays or just thrifting and throwing stuff together. I cosplayed Mokuna from Tsubasa, or a Holic, depending on, which you've seen. And I really enjoyed it. I also did, like, a really terrible Pokemon trainer, but I loved it anyway. You know, it just felt more, it felt more like at home when you're in a costume at a convention rather than, you know, normal attire. I really enjoy, like, going at least one day in normal attire because I actually get to explore and feel not, like, as, yeah, you know, it gets crowded sometimes when you're in a costume.
You're on display. Everybody wants to take a picture with you. Little girls are like, oh my gosh, that's a thing. And yeah, I can imagine that you get bombarded. I have to say, I saw that you did a redo of your first costume and then put them side by side. That's gotta feel good to look at where you were and where you've come to with your abilities.
Yeah, I'm pretty, you know, shocked, like, over the time. I was like, how did I get from there to here? But it's just, I think a lot of people don't realize just how much practice it takes and just pushing yourself to do bigger and better things all the time.
Lunescence, what is your favorite comment about that?
Or
about how many hours it takes.
It takes 10,000. Yeah, 10,000 hours to master something.
Yep. And I just love that, like, Lunescence always reminds me, it takes 10,000 hours. Because, yeah, sometimes I am too much of a perfectionist, so when I'm trying something new or I'm trying to work on something, and I'm like, wow, that was terrible. This is horrible. I'm done. And then I have to stop and remind myself, like, no, this is something that takes a really long time. And I am going to be embarking on my first cosplay project, and it's so intimidating. I'm like, oh, I don't want it to suck, but it is, it's fun. So yeah, what advice would you give to somebody that wants to dive into cosplay or costume making in general?
I think if you're starting off with your first costume or just continuing on, I know that everybody wants it to be like the perfect costume the first time around, but I think it's better to just have something that's okay or good enough for the first time, because you want to be able to improve and be able to show that side-by-side view of this is where I started and this is where what I've become. And you don't have to have all the skills in the world just at the beginning. You could buy a costume. You can modify thrifted clothing, which I highly recommend. It's, cosplay is not cheap. It's really expensive if you are going for bigger things. And being able to work up to where you can actually afford that, you know, being able to get better materials, get better tools, if you want to do this in the long run. But if you're doing it just for fun, that's what really matters, is just having fun. And even in my own work, I just have to remind myself, I'm like, you know, yes, this is going to be a lot of work. Yes, this is going to take time and money, but it's going to be worth it in the end, because I'm going to have a lot of fun wearing this.
I'm so glad you bring up the cost factor, because I think that is, the number of hours is definitely an investment, but holy crap, some of these costumes, the monetary investment in the tools that you need to do the foam smithing, or just to put together some of the I don't know what else to call them, contraptions that people put together are incredible. And it's so amazing to see that. And then that's why I always get mad when people are like, oh, it's not a very good cosplay. And I'm like, okay, what would you do? You're here in jeans and a t-shirt. Like, like, please tell me how.
Give me a voice. I'd like to hear your input.
Yeah, you know, and I love, so I'm a huge Blizzard fangirl. So I went to my first BlizzCon last year, and I always watch the costume contest, because that's one of my favorite things, is to see my favorite Blizzard characters come to life. And I actually got to go to BlizzCon this last year, and in person, I could not believe the level of detail and the things that people are able to accomplish with, you know, in this art form of cosplaying. And it just, it's so impressive to me. I love it. I have to talk about the project you did in January, because I also thought that was amazing. And I think it's a huge testament to the fact that, like you said, you can thrift, you can be creative, you can find a way, but, you did closet cosplay.
Yes.
So yeah, just, tell us how that's, where did that idea come from and how did that all work out?
I kept getting a lot of messages, especially when Steampunked went onto Netflix. I got a lot of messages from people being like, oh, you know, this is really cool what you do, but I can never do it myself because I don't have the ability to make cosplays. So I'm like, okay, that's not really always how it works. And I would often give advice on to, you know, go thrifting, go do all this stuff. And so I'm like, what can I do to just kind of help myself, you know, grow as a costumer without actually doing any sewing involved? And how can I make other people see that it's not all about, you know, the making side? It's just being about creative, or, you know, just putting things together. So every day in January, I did a closet cosplay of only things that were in my household. And I limited myself to only safety pins or tape for some of the costumes, putting things together. So no sewing involved whatsoever. So, you know, some of the things were like really small and pretty easy, and then other of, you know, others were, you know, a little bit more tricky, and getting them to actually look like the characters. And of course, the other limiting factor was I had people suggest what I should do. So those, I picked 31 only based on what they picked out. A lot of people picked out yellow outfitted characters, and I don't own any yellow, so that limited a lot of my...
You mean you don't like to wear a color that makes you look like you're sick and about to vomit? Like you don't like to wear that color? That's how I feel when I wear yellow. I'm like, ooh, I look sick.
Yeah, there are certain types of yellows that look okay, but not the bright, bright yellow that somehow, what reason heroes love.
Yeah, French's mustard, not really in your color palette clothing-wise. Well, I really enjoyed watching it because it was, you know, every day. And now I know we'll definitely link, I know you did an article where you did a summary of the whole experience, and we'll definitely link that for the listeners. But what I really, so every day you posted a picture of your closet cosplay. And, you know, I was very impressed with some of the ones that you were able to pull off. And again, just the creative use of stuff in your house.
Man. When I did, I think Lila was the one that I was most frustrated with because I was like, oh yeah, I could just use like toilet paper and make the bondages. No, that's not gonna work. And so just like running through my house trying to figure out what the heck I could make the strips out of. And of course, I don't have orange to do her normal outfit either. So she's like, what do I have? I've got this tool. I guess that'll have to do. Don't have enough of this tool, but it'll make it work.
Yeah. Which one was your favorite that you did?
I think my favorite was probably Lady Mechanica or the Autumn Poison Ivy, only because the Poison Ivy one was just so overly ridiculous because all I was doing was just literally taping leaves to my body that I had found in, like, some of my craft stuff. Okay, this will do.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You're like, all right, so these are the colored leaves I have. So it's autumn poison ivy.
Were you allowed to dye anything or alter anything in any way, or just grab whatever was in your closet and use it?
I did alter a lot of stuff, but using tape or safety pins. For example, like anything that was crop top. I don't own any crop tops, so I pretty much safety pins, you know, regular blouses or shirts to be a crop top. I did end up draping a lot of fabric. For example, like Meg from Hercules and what's her name? No, Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. Those, yeah. Any of the, like, a lot of my backdrops ended up just being part of my garments later on because I have all this fabric and I'm like, if I can just drape it in a specific way and then safety pin it into place, then here I go. I have a dress. I do that a lot for some of my actual costumes. My Siren costume, I wore to Labyrinth of Jareth. A lot of it was just safety pinned into a skirt because I was making it the night before. I'm like, I'll sew this together eventually, but no one will know if I do this right. And so they're actually wearable garments. It's just, I wouldn't actually, you know, normally do that if I have the time, but because they're closet cosplays, I'm like, I've got no time to do this.
I have to say, Meg was one of my favorites personally. I also liked the Kiki, from Kiki's Delivery Service. Red Sonja is my favorite comic book character, so I have to be honest, that one made me laugh a little bit, because I was like, yep, that's pretty much a Red Sonja outfit, plinkini and a sword. but no, I did enjoy just, and I like the idea behind that of just saying like, hey, look, like, you don't need to have everything perfect, go throw something together, be creative, find, you know, a different way to use something, to make it work. I mean, there was, and I think the reason I like the Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service is that you just made this big giant bow just by using this pink tool, and it looks so cute. It just came out so cute. And I don't know. I just think that I wish that more people would be more adventurous and, again, have that idea that it doesn't necessarily have to be perfect. Oh, and by the way, your Daphne was also, from Scooby-Doo, was particularly accurate. And I really enjoyed that one, too. But, no, I like the idea behind the project. Yeah, it was definitely silly. And we'll share the link, too, like I said, for everybody who's listening to be able to check out. I'm glad that you did the... compiled them all together. And yeah, the commitment of time on that, that was crazy.
Too much time. People kept being like, you should do this all year. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'm good.
I'd like to work on my other projects. At least a project that's more permanent that you might be able to wear like more than once too.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. No, it was amazing though.
I turned one of them into a real cosplay because...
Your Ghost in the Shell, right?
Yeah, I did a major from Ghost in the Shell because I had a bunny suit that I had made for Sylveon a while back, but the pattern was terrible. It fit me great up top, but if you try to snap it in, like, I don't know whose butt it was made for, but it's not made for humans at all. So being able to just take that, I had, for the picture of the original, I just folded it under and I'm like, good enough. It's a corset now. But when I, made it into a real cosplay, I was able to modify it so it actually has the correct shape for her bodice that she wears or her, I'm not sure exactly what it would be considered, but it's not originally a corset in the anime. But modifying it and then actually using real sewing skills and making it look a little bit more accurate and then adding some accessories helped a lot.
And I have to say, yeah, no, I saw the pictures. And again, for our audio listeners, don't worry. There will be links to all the things and we'll put links to Talis on our Girlfriends page so you guys can find her stuff and follow her and check out. I love how prolific you are in sharing. I really love that I constantly see in my Facebook feed like fun pictures and different things. And I really enjoy that. But yo, your Ghost in the Shell, and by the way, girl, I don't know how you got, like, I would feel so naked walking around in that outfit.
I was just grateful it was hot out.
Yeah. No, it came out so good, though. I'm so excited to see it. And I love Ghost in the Shell, so I know everybody's bitter because it's not an Asian actress. I agree. At the same time, I'm still excited about it because I loved it as an anime, and I'm very excited to see it being adapted into a film that I get to watch. So I'm going to be excited about Ghost in the Shell, even though there's drama about choosing Scarlett Johansson.
I'm hesitant. I will wait. I will see it eventually, but... You know, I'm waiting to see the reviews.
Yeah, it's hard when it's something that you love and then you don't know. But I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Hopeful. Oh my gosh. So Loon, any other questions for our guest, Miss Talis?
Yeah, since you mentioned weather, do you tend to try to cosplay for the season? Like if it's in the middle of winter, do you try to stay away from really skimpy cosplays if you can?
Yes.
Or are a lot of places that you go to, are they mostly inside so it doesn't really matter?
Both. I do try to theme, like for specifically Pumpkin Queen, I'll try to wear her like full outfit during fall because it actually makes sense. But then I'll like dress it down more so during hotter times of the year. But because it's California, it's generally warm year round, so I don't have to be too concerned about that, but I'm definitely not going to be wearing a heavy coat during Anime Expo in July because that's
sure.
Man, 1 year was like 115 degrees and I think I almost died, but you know, I'm sure it's much warmer in Arizona, and that's something I have to be more
right now.
Well, for Wild West Con, I'm like, okay, well, I'll wear this, but hopefully I don't die.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. Man, I can't wait. It is going to be hot, though. I will not be in costume. I will just be there. Actually, that's not true. I have a pair of goggles I might wear. I'll put on some goggles.
Channel cold. Where it's
maybe
cold.
I'll throw on a corset. I don't know. Maybe. But it's hot. So I just want to go as me.
That's perfectly reasonable. I think that's pretty okay.
Yeah, it's so funny, though, because, like, I have friends that are like, I'm going in this, and I have my whole steampunk outfit. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to have worked all week. I'm just going to want to go.
I think definitely go to as many panels as possible, because it's so much cooler in the panel rooms compared to a lot of the other places or outside in general.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially because it has been unusually warm right now. Mm. It's a little crazy right now, for at least for this time of year.
Yes.
Well, that's really, so that would be, let's see, I know we've mentioned it, but just to clarify. So it's the Wild West Con in Tucson, Arizona, which is one of the biggest steampunk conventions. It might be, like, was it the first or something? I know it had some certain...
Biggest West Coast steampunk event, I believe World's Steampunk Fair is the biggest.
Yeah.
U.S.
So I know it's got some regularly very awesome guests. I'm excited to see. I know you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. I know Thomas Wilford, I know he's regularly there. Yep.
And then his girlfriend, Amy Wilder, will be a guest as well. I know she's doing, some panels, like, Sexy Girls of Steampunk, panels. We're gonna be doing that. Sarah Nethery is also a guest, and she'll be doing, on the panel as well. And then, she's, James Nethery from Steampunked, his wife is, Sarah Nethery, and so, they'll both be guests, which I'm very, very excited because I haven't met her in person. I've talked to her on the phone, but she's super, super sweet lady. And James, I haven't seen him since the TV show, and I miss him terribly. And then Tobias McCurry. Also,
I want to meet him. I enjoyed watching him on Steampunked. I think he seems cool.
He is very fun. He'll probably be stomping around on his stilts per usual. And then who else? There's going to be a some sort of like showdown of vehicles between two of the guests. So I think they're like battling the vehicles with each other. So I'm interested to see that. I don't think they've ever done it before. I think Dave Lee is one of the people. He's like, you got to vote for my vehicle. I'm like, I haven't even seen it yet, and I haven't seen the other guy, so I can't make a choice yet. I'll have to wait till the convention.
I think it'll be fun. So this is and if you want to read more about the convention we're talking about, it's wildwestcon.com is where the website about the Wild West Steampunk Convention 6, which is happening in just a few weeks. So I bet you're probably just finalizing everything at this point to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of panels. I have so many panels.
I just like that I can get a ticket to do absinthe tasting. So, you know, that might be my avenue. I don't know.
Good choice.
I think now, Loon, you.
I think the after parties are some pretty good ones because, of course, the con ends at 6 p.m. So everybody just goes back to the hotel and hangs out and it's fun.
Now, Loon, you like steampunk. You've done some steampunk costuming before. At least, yeah. I think some. You're like, yeah, just yep, a little yeah, bit.
My first attempt at a steampunk concert, I ended up going to Walmart and buying one of those really cheap, like, undergarment body corsets. Yeah. Because I couldn't find an actual corset at, like, any of the thrift stores that I was going to. And I didn't have time to make one, because I don't really know how to make one. So yeah, I was just like, well, who has something that looks kind of corset-y? So, you know, I just bought one of those, like, really ugly off-white, waist cinchers that like it, and it had an under bust, so it didn't even go like over the bust. And it fastened in the front with these little clasps. And I was like, well, I don't want it that color. So I bought some black Rit dye, dyed it, and the stitching on it turned gold. So it looked really freaking cool. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And so, yeah, and just threw like a black shirt on and some some stuff and just kind of threw it together. And so it, you know, it definitely did not win the costume contest, but it was definitely fun to do. We've got we've got our Clockwork Carnival coming up soon, I think, but I can't find any information for it. So hopefully it's not gone, because that usually happens annually. And it's only been going on for about 4 years. So I hope that happens again, because we're Boise, Idaho. We don't get really big conventions coming our way. So we usually have these little mini conventions that'll happen. So it would be really cool to be able to travel like to where you are and go to that con. That would be an awesome experience.
Yeah. Cause I remember in particular, I remember seeing a picture many moons ago of you from the Clockwork Carnival, and I believe you were on roller skates in a steampunk costume, if I recall.
Yeah, that was the second one that I went to. I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask if I can go on skates. And I just went in there and I was like, okay, skates are going to be a part of my costume. And I even bought laces that lit up and tried to do what I could to make the actual wheels look like they were gears, but didn't turn out so great because I was using foam. But it's okay. Trial and error.
I think that's awesome. All right.
And that didn't even come close for the costume contest. Cause of course the person who won, was a girl that had something that looked very stereotypically steampunk. And that's okay, because it was a really good costume. That first one I went to, though, I don't know if you see much of this kind of thing, Talis, but she ended up becoming a friend later. She created actual movable wings out of coat hangers and cloth that she was able to just kind of like manipulate in the front and get them to expand outwards. It was so cool.
Yeah, I've been looking into doing that at some point for some of the characters where I'm like, don't have enough time to learn something new right now.
Yeah, because I asked her, like, how did you look online for that? She goes, no, I just thought it up and I made it. You thought it up? You're a mechanical genius.
That's so impressive. I see some of the, like, I know we watched the costume contest together, the BlizzCon one, and we're just like, how did you do that thing? How?
Right? Yeah, like those costumes had to have been taken a year to make, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Just so impressive.
Second place winners, and I'm like, who was the first place winner? That one's like, I've never even seen something like that in second or third place.
Right?
Or you see the ones with like, honorable mention, and I'm like, really? That's it? For that? Oh my god. My favorite one that I saw, I don't know. Well, what I loved about it was it was simple, but it was Chromie from World of Warcraft. And what I loved about it is that she made her buns, and Chromie is a gnome, or well, her non-dragon form is a gnome. And I love that she made her hair buns like gigantic and her shoulder pads really large. So when you were standing a couple feet back from her, it created this optical illusion that she looked like she was a little gnome because of how it was done. And that was so impressive to me to just manipulate the size of the costume to make it appear that way. I thought it was really freaking cool. So yeah. Magic. I want to make stuff. So I'm excited to dive in. I'm starting to actually get my stuff together and working on things. And I'm very excited for my first adventure. Hopefully it doesn't suck. No.
Talis, do you run into many people that probably not with the circles that you run in, but do you run into many people that don't understand cosplay at all?
Yeah.
Like they don't quite understand what you do and don't take you seriously or just don't understand what an art form it is?
Yeah. A lot of the steampunk events that I go to, actually, there are some people who are like, just comic in that general, some of them, they're like, I'm a comic artist. I don't know why people would dress up, though. Like, it has no purpose that they can see anyway. And they'll often ask me, they're like, I've heard from lots of people, like, you know, why they do it. And it's just, it still doesn't make sense to me. Like, why do you do it? And, it's always interesting that they just there's just something that doesn't make sense to them. And that's cool if they don't understand. But it's like, as long as they don't shame other people for doing it. I think that's the biggest, you know, issue with some people, like, these kids need to get a job. I'm like, we have a job. We want to be able to afford all this otherwise. And then there's also people who, like in the steampunk community, who don't understand cosplay, but they're like, this is more historical reenactment than cosplay. This is not a costume. This is an outfit. I'm like, okay, but you're still having fun. And this isn't historically accurate most of the time, which is what steampunk is not accurate. So it is a costume, unless you're doing historical reenactments, more so. So it's interesting, the amount of people who don't understand. It's like, my parents don't understand, like, at all.
I was gonna ask that, because that's definitely the one thing where, you know, I've done LARP for years, and my dad is like, oh yeah, your devil worship vampire game. And I'm like, oh, dad, like, it's definitely not devil worship, and I don't really, and granted, he does not really mean it in the serious way that the parents that used to shun, you know, D&D did, but yeah, he still doesn't get it. I am going to put a pin in this for just a second because it looks like we lost Loon. She disconnected. Magic of editing. She will be able to piece everything back together, but then we will hopefully get her back. I hope. She's still online, so that's good. Her internet, she had like electricity fry in her house last week, which was awesome. So she thought her monitor was dead, but it turns out her outlet was just dead. So half the outlets in the house got fried, but she's okay. Oh, yay, I think she's back. Hello!
Hi, my browser just completely shut down on me.
Oh, I was like, 1 second she was here, and then she was gone, and I was like, it's okay, we have the magic of editing. So we can always we'll just piece that together the way you do with your magic.
Yes.
I just hope we have a recording of what you did. That would be awkward. All right, well, I think that would bring us to a good point to begin the grilling. So, Talus, are you ready to get grilled?
Sure.
I just want to make it sound really intimidating. It's really not. So I'm going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions. So you're just going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind. And then when you're done, you can say that you got grilled. So it's pretty cool. So, here goes. All right, what is your favorite color?
Blue.
What do you want? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Costume designer.
Yay. If you could choose to stay a certain age forever, what age would it be?
25.
Okay. What is the first thing you remember buying with your own money?
An iPod Nano.
Oh, boy. What's the best gift that you remember receiving?
Sewing machine.
Oh, what about the worst?
Fox.
If you were reincarnated as an animal drink ice cream flavor, what would it be?
Cream soda.
All right, that sounds good. What would you name the autobiography of your life?
What am I doing?
If you could meet anyone, living or dead, who would you want to meet?
Dead. I was gassing. I don't know. Everybody's going through my head. I can't think of one person. I can't think of one.
That's okay. With you, how about this? Who would write the soundtrack to a movie of your life story?
John Williams.
There you go. Hooray. You've been successfully grilled.
I got grilled.
Yes, you totally got grilled. Oh my gosh. Well, it has been super fun talking to you. So grills, what are you most anticipating this week? Loon, what's up? What's on your radar?
I am looking forward to a silent movie concert tonight with a live orchestra for a school paper.
That sounds really fancy.
Yeah, for a school paper that I gotta write. So that'll be really fun. It'll be the Boise Philharmonic. They are a professional level orchestra. It's really hard to get in. I've personally auditioned for the Meridian City Orchestra, but there's absolutely no way that I would be able to get into the Boise City Orchestra. They're super awesome. I was involved with them a little bit back in high school, though, when I was a member of the Treasure Valley Youth Symphony, because they're kind of in charge of that. So it'll be really fun to see that live with, just a whole bunch of like silent movie stuff. They're going to be doing like Felix the Cat, Abbott and Costello, things like that. It'll be really cool.
That sounds very fun. Taylis, what's on deck for you? What are you anticipating this week?
I will be doing a couple shooty things with costumes and a camera, not with guns. And also I'm prepping for LARP in a week.
Is that the Dystopia Rising game?
So I gotta do some costume prep for that because I haven't updated my costume in forever.
I very much want to get back to that because it was fun. It's crazy. It's crazy, but very, 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 very fun. I am personally excited because somehow I didn't realize, but The Walking Dead comes back tomorrow night.
Whoa.
For some reason, I thought it was like a month away, but the new episode comes out tomorrow night. So I am very, very excited to continue the season. And I am also going to make sure I get my tickets for Wild West Con. I'm excited about that. That's just a few weeks away. And I think I'll be, doing some unboxing videos this week. So check my Facebook page for that stuff. I'll share it, but, I have stuff to unbox. So that'll be cool. So remember everybody who's listening, if you want to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/grills. We always want to thank our patrons. You guys are awesome. And just remember, we still have game codes that given away to our next few listeners that sign up on Patreon. And thanks to our last new patron, we have a pay it forward, so you actually get two game codes for the next person that signs up on Patreon. So do that. If you have funds to spare, it helps us continue to make our fun podcast. Also, if you don't have extra money to spare, but you still want to help, you can do that by submitting an iTunes review. We love them. We, of course, we'd prefer 5-star reviews, but if you have critique, that's fine too. We'll take it. As far as the interwebs, you can find Ember, who is, in absentia at the moment, at 9 of 12 on Twitter. And she is on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. Lunescence, where can people find you?
Easiest place to find me is on Twitter at Chris Van Pelt, KrisVanPelt.
And Taylis, what's the easiest way for folks to find you on the interwebs?
Facebook.com/TaylisForge.
And that is TaylisS, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. And you can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter and give my Facebook page a like. That's facebook.com/TheJenPlays. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.